How we doing?
Man, are you serious? We're having you on the Edge Television broadcast?
Are you serious, Daniel? It's great to be here.
Man, it's so good to hear. Man, I do my background checks on you, Paul.
Yeah.
And I found a picture of you by a fence post with a hat, with a cowboy hat. Are you?
Yeah, because I know you are the famous cowboy man, but yes, I can play that game too.
Look at this.
Oh yeah, I'm ready.
Well, look, man, if you're going to ever do an interview and want to have some fun, this would be the one to do it.
This is the one. Good to be here tonight.
But you know, no, we have fun here, but man, we get to it too. We talk about serious issues here too, Paul. You know, we've had some great guests. If you ever looked at our lineup, man, I listen to you all the time, and I don't. Did you hear my intro of you?
I didn't hear your intro. I was just sitting there waiting for it to come on.
Yeah. I said the heavens are quaking. The heaven is shaking. The earth is quaking. My mind is aching, and I'm frying some bacon.
And what kind of medication are you taking? Because it's fake medication at Walmart. I know. I'm with you all the way.
Well, here we are anyway, man. Hey, great to have you on the program. Man, there are some serious things coming up, and you are one of the point of the spears to get this information out in your broadcast. Pastor Paul, before we get going, though, why don't you introduce yourself to our audience? Who are you? What you about? What are you doing?
Oh, man, you know what? I'm just a country preacher here in the cornfields of Indiana, and thank you so much for having us on tonight. It's an honor to be on your show, and you know, we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we're waking people up to the current world events and how they relate to biblical prophecy, from Nibiru to the zombie apocalypse and everything in between. We're trying to keep everybody up to date on what's going on. You know, the heavens are shaking. The earth is definitely quaking. And there's a lot of things happening around the world. Wars, rumors of wars, all the things in Matthew 24. So we take a look at the current events, how they relate to biblical prophecy, and we try our best to wake up the people.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Now, where can people hear your broadcast?
They can hear my broadcast just about everywhere. I go live every day at 12 noon Eastern and every night during the week at 10 p.m. Eastern. You can watch me live on YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, new live stream, Roku satellite, Twitch.
Everywhere.
Just everywhere. And our television show airs every week. You can see it on DirecTV. There's three different channels. We're on Sunday nights, we're on channel 367, okay, on DirecTV every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm. But we're on other channels as well. So catch us on Sunday nights. That's a good one.
Yeah. All right. Very, very good. Very good. But, you know, there's some dates coming up. And, of course, I know you're not necessarily a date setter, but December 10th, I think there's is there like a cosmic pulse coming?
There is. According to Mike Around the World, who we interview a lot, there's a cosmic pulse that's going to hit the Earth on December 10th. Now, we don't know what effects that's going to be on the Earth. We've been hit with three what's called waves of energy since August the 17th, 2017. And that's been documented by guys like Dutch Sense and by the National Weather Service, spaceweather.com. So we're going to get hit with something called a pulse. It's not like a wave, but it's going to be like a hit. Now, it's cosmic, and it will probably do more damage in the electromagnetic shield, but it could set off an earthquake or a volcano. It depends how hard it hits. So we're going to be kind of awake on that day to watch and see what's going on. And then after that one, Daniel, there's another one coming on December 16th, 6 days later, which is stronger. So let's see if anything develops on the 10th, and that might give us an indication what to look for on the 16th.
Mm-hmm. You know, interesting, it's December 10th, and I suppose this is just a mighty strange coincidence, but YouTube is changing their policy on that day, and a lot of people, including myself, I'm already downloading all my programs, getting ready, because I think the new policy just basically says, we don't have to have a reason now. We don't like you. We're deleting you, so don't even ask us about it.
Yeah, I'm praying to God that that doesn't happen to you or me or any of the other guys out there. I think there's some great alternative media broadcasters that have been doing a great job. And I know I've been on for 10 years, and I really hope that doesn't happen. So we got a lot of prayers going. We don't even know what to do. We don't know what the rules are. They seem to be so vague. You know, mm-hmm. they're so vague, right. you don't know what you can say and what you can't say. And so, you know, we're just trying to tell the truth, all of us. It's going to be strange. So, yeah, same day, the Pulse. So it's December 10th, D-Day.
Well, if banning people for what they say, I'm surprised I'm still here. So, but listen, man, you know, sometimes I bait him, Paul. I intentionally try to antagonize him because I figure there's a bunch of skinny jean wearing metrosexuals over at YouTube that are watching programs, and I'm trying to push their trigger button. You know what I'm saying? Just for fun.
All right. Well, you know what? You're pushing the buttons. That's for sure, brother.
Somebody's got to do it. They're going
to. Might as well be you. That's right. Well, we're doing our best to open the eyes of people, because certainly our nation and the culture of our country seems to be really, this impeachment thing is just, it's a farce. And then, you know, and it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. I think at this point, you just can see it for what it is. It's like, okay, there's no there. What? Why are we doing this? Why do this to a country that's thriving right now? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it is thriving. That was part of my ranting points tonight. And it's like, you know, I don't like this paradigm, Republican, Democrat, left, right. But, Paul, you got to be crazy in the head to not see that they want to, there's a faction in this country that wants to destroy it. And I don't like that. To say that, it sounds like, oh, I just got an axe to grind. Well, the data proves otherwise. Like you just said, there's this, nobody knows what law supposedly that President Trump has violated. They're just saying, we don't like him. He's mean. He golfs sometimes. Look at his Twitter. You know, let's get rid of him. What kind of high crime and misdemeanor are we talking about here? Sounds like the only high crime we got is pissing off the left.
You know, really, there is no crime at all for impeachment. It's and what there seemed to be what, and they've been saying impeach him before the day after the election. I mean, he hadn't even got sworn in yet, and so you know, this is really a deep state. This is definitely the deep state that is trying everything it can to destroy and undo our election that the people have voted. And I think where they're really trembling right now is what in the world they're going to do in 2020, because they don't have any candidates that's, you know, I mean, I'd rather, when they have a debate, I watch paint dry. I just stare at it.
Yeah.
It's more exciting. Or, you know, or grass growing in December, which doesn't do very well. But still, it's better than what they got. They have nothing to offer. Bloomberg is now panicking. He's jumped in like he's going to save the day. Really what it is, they don't know what to do. Trump is going to win the election, and so they're thinking, what happens after that? Those next 4 years, he won't have to worry about being voted in again. So it's like no holds barred, and I think they don't know what to do with it. Why destroy a nation that's been founded on the truth of the Word of God? Our Constitution is the best ever written by man. It's not perfect, but it's, you know, it's the best ever written. This is the strongest nation in the world, founded on the principles of the Word of God, and it's blessed. Why would you want to destroy that? It's mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. There is a book out there called The Providential Life of George Washington, and in it, it recounts so many things that happened around George Washington and the Continental Army that clearly shows divine intervention in that war. Is it possible that... And I don't like to say this because I know I've seen so many times on my Twitter feed, Trump is not Christ. Trump is not God. Well, nobody's saying that. I've never heard anybody say that. But is it possible there's a providentiality, if that is even a word, I can use it here because it's my show. Is there a providentiality to Trump being in the White House right now?
Absolutely. I say that without even blinking. He has been chosen by God for such an hour as this. It is a miracle that he won. No, this man's not perfect. Well, neither am I or you or anyone else. He's got his issues, and he admits he's a young Christian. But, you know, here's something, Daniel. His daddy was a pretty ruthless, strong businessman, and Donald watched that. But his mother was an intercessory prayer warrior in the Presbyterian Church. He watched that, too. And so he learned that through the power of prayer, through Jesus Christ, mountains could move. So here's an individual who, on one hand, has worked very hard, and nobody out, he outworks everybody. I don't even know anybody his age can work as hard as him. He's a hardworking, hard charging guy, but at the same time, he's asking pastors to come in and pray for him, lay hands on him. Bible study goes on, Daniel, every week in the White House with Congress, members of Congress, and Vice President Pence and others, and even the president sets in on some of them. So we haven't ever seen anything like this. Bible study in the White House? When's the last time you heard about that? So, you know, this is a guy who understands that we have to stand on the principles of the Word of God. And I believe he was put there for such a time as this without to help save the union, to be mm-hmm. quite honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. You said prayers in the White House, that may be being the season that it is. I remember when the Clintons were in there, I remember that they put condoms on the White House Christmas tree. And I think the Obamas, I think they put prayer rugs, little prayer rugs on their Christmas tree. Anyway, so did I just say that? So, yeah, I mean, this is a crazy stuff out there. Now, there is a list. I'm going to put this list together. I might be the first one to do it. Hopefully somebody's already done it. But there appears to be a list. You know, I kind of said, like in my ranting points, one of the biblical verses that says, that which is done in secret will be proclaimed upon the housetops. Here we have Joe Biden, just for inexplicable reasons, saying how he had little kids stroking his curly hair. He says it was on his leg. Okay, I guess that's as far as it went. I don't know. You know, and then saying that he had roaches. Either he called kids roaches, or he's getting roaches from Corn Pop, joint roaches from Corn Pop, to quid pro quo bribe them to touch him. But he's being humiliated by his own. He's humiliating himself. Then we have the Chicago police commissioner who refused to be at the police convention with Trump. He gets fired. We had somebody, some ice skater somewhere, said they refused to go to the White House. They broke a leg. This list, there is a list, Paul. I don't know if you've noticed this, ever so subtle, a list of things that are happening to people that have come out against Trump. I mean, Megyn Kelly, look at her. I mean, she was kind of a normal looking woman before she started talking about Trump's hates women, that kind of BS. And then all of a sudden, she got fired. She left Fox, and her hair got short. I don't know. I guess she's still a woman. I think she still likes men. I don't know. But she's completely destroyed her career, and she'll never be the same. And nobody's ever going to watch her again. So, do you think that there is something to this, or am I just seeing this and projecting?
Well, no. I think that if you study the Bible, the Bible tells you that you dare not touch the Lord's anointed, nor do his prophets no harm. Anytime you come against a child of God, especially someone who stands up for the faith in Jesus Christ, I don't think anybody has had to take more heat for standing up for Jesus Christ, for having people at his inauguration pray in Jesus' name. 5 out of 6 of the people he had prayed the day he was sworn in prayed in Jesus Christ's name, which is powerful. He put Christmas back in Christmas, okay? He stands with Chuck Norris in putting the Bible, and there's now 3,000 high schools across America where the Bible is a curriculum being taught in public school. This is amazing. These are some of the information people don't know. So he's taken a lot of heat for standing up for God. And so what happens is, and people got to be very careful, when you run around trashing anybody that's a saint of God, you can bring upon yourself curses. The Bible plainly says that. Matter of fact, Elijah Cummings, passed away. He would have been involved in this impeachment thing.
And there's another one.
I mean, unexplained. So a lot of folks got to be careful about what they say. And there's a lot of people sowing a lot of bad seed, Daniel. And you reap what you sow. And it's very, very dangerous. See, the Bible even says don't speak evil of dignitaries. I won't even speak evil against any president, even if I disagree with them. You know, I don't like the policies, but I'm not going to run around hoping they die. Remember Kathy Gifford decapitating him, holding his head up? Mm-hmm. She didn't last long either. It don't pay to do these things against people that have been chosen by God.
Well, there's another one, Kathy Gifford. Her career was destroyed, and then she cut her hair. I mean, they self-mutilate themselves after coming up against Trump. They can't get to Trump, so they just start mutilating themselves. It's crazy. I'll tell you what, Pastor Paul Begley, we've got questions coming in all over the place. Let's get this one from Melinda from Wichita. I think she listens to you every day. It says, what do you know about the asteroid that's coming to hit us?
Well, there's an asteroid. Well, first of all, there's an asteroid coming on December 28th that's going to come very close, but it won't hit us. That one, it won't hit us. So relax about that one, although it will close. But the one to watch for, really, is Apophis. Apophis is coming on Friday the 13th, the year 2029, April 13th, 2029. That thing is 4.5 football fields wide. It's headed right toward the Earth. NASA first gave it a 2.7% chance of deep impact. They've since come back and said, no, we think it's going to scrape by missing us by 18,000 miles. Now, you have to understand, the satellites that go around the Earth are 22,000 miles around. So it's going to come inside the satellite belt. And even if it does barely miss us, it's so close on us, it will probably explode in the sky, or it's bringing debris with it. And then again, it's 9 years away. So, Daniel, we don't know if it's going to hit us or not. It's really 9 years. With all the pressure and the gravitational pull from the Nibiru thing that they're looking at, there's all bets are off. Till that thing gets about 3 years from us, we'll know. But I don't know they'll tell us. Mm-hmm. I really don't think. I think you'll get a three-day warning if it's going to hit. That's all you're going to get.
Yeah, well, I think all you really got to do is to look at the underground bases and see if you see the elite and the governmental officials all of a sudden, well, darling, I think it's time for a vacation. We'll go ahead and go down the underground. You know, they start, because there's going to be a whole bunch of people, especially in D.C. I think there's a whole city underneath D.C. that they're going to go to. And Pastor Paul, I've always said this. The elite has been using our money to build underground bases for themselves. It's got spas, jacuzzis, sports fields. I mean, it's got everything in there, weight training, jumbotrons. They're going to have to come out of there sometime. And the people that pay for it are going to be waiting for them.
Yeah, the Bible tells you, though, in the book of Revelation, that they're going to run for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. They got full cities under Denver in the Rocky Mountains. And they're not the only country. Other countries have them, too. Okay, so the elitists are preparing. And the Bible says that they will cry for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. You can run, but you can't hide. God will hunt you down. And there's no way to get around the judgment or the wrath of God. Now, and I don't know if Apophis is part of the wrath of God or just a major deep impact, like it says in Revelation 8:8. You know, I don't know. But or if we're going to get hit before that. I mean, there's a debris field that's part of what they call the Jupiter collision that's coming in the year 2023 to 2025 that may hit us before we ever see Apophis. Mm-hmm. So you can't hide from this. There's no way out.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, like in the movie Armageddon, the asteroid, the huge asteroid that was heading our way, it had pieces or a forward debris field preceding it and hit sort of as a warning. Is do you foresee that we'll get a debris field like that before the big one?
I actually do, and I think that scripturally, I think we're showed that. I think that's what the Revelation 8:8 scriptures are saying. We have two deep impacts. They do wipe out some people. They do some serious damage, but don't kill everybody on the earth. And I don't think it's the wrath. I don't think it's the end of time. But I do think we're going to have a couple major deep impacts that is going to shake the world. People are going to know things are getting very serious, and it could be some warning shots that may turn some folks to God, no doubt about it. But then again, there'll be others that will curse God, hating him for the judgment that's coming. Mm-hmm. They don't believe, and mm-hmm. some will say it's aliens doing it. So mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. That's why we got to stand on the truth and keep telling people what's happening, so that they're not shocked when these things come.
Mm-hmm. All right, another question come in for you. Does Trump know about Nibiru? Now, you know, recently he just said he knows about the UFO Tic Tac videos, and which he said, I don't necessarily believe. I'll leave it to my pilots, which basically saying they're telling you the truth. I'll let them talk to you. What about does he know about this planet?
I believe he does 100%. 100%. And I say that because some of the guys that I've talked to who are in the know on this, they know that this information has gone all the way to the top. And not just Trump, but every president before Trump. I mean, we're talking at least for the last 40 years. They know. Okay. Now, they don't know how far it's out. I'm sure they've been given estimates. I'm sure they've been told, look, it's Nibiru is something it's like a binary system. It's like another solar system, and it's going to come into our solar system. But it's got such a big object that it will shake the heavens. It will cause a strong gravitational pull. I guarantee you the president knows about it. And he also knows that he can't say anything about it, because you put a total set of fear and could create anarchy. You, if people knew that in 10 years all hell was going to break loose, it would break loose then as soon as you told him. So there's no way he can say anything, but I'm certain he's in on the know.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that this gravitational pull will trigger the Cascadia subduction zone and activate it?
I'm very concerned. I mean, I'm leaning into that heavily. Yes, I really am. Because it's a ticking time bomb. That plate has gone underneath there now so far. It's been 319 years since the mega quake of 1700. It is overdue, and you can see it. I mean, we're getting 4 and 5 point earthquakes over there. And this Nibiru could set that off. I'm worried about that one. Really, really worried about Cascadia subduction zone. I put that number one on my list, and then I'm worried about New Madrid, I'm worried about San Andrea, and I'm worried about the one underneath Italy, right under Rome. Those are the four that I'm watching very close, and you know, when I hear this pulse is coming, that's the first thing I think of is, will that thing set off one of these quakes? So Cascadia subduction zone, it's not a question of if, it's just when.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's a question from Put Yahweh First out of the live chat. What is the North Korean leader present to the U.S. going to be? He says he's going to give us a present.
Yeah, you know what? What in the world? And he's not going to hit us with a dirty bomb or a nuke or anything like that. But, you know, I do worry about an EMP. I do worry a little bit about, but that would be suicidal. For him to do something ridiculous on us, the retaliation would be devastation. So what in the world is he going to do? Is he going to release a video or something? Or is he going to put 100 baby Trump balloons in the air? I don't know.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's not going to release a new diet video.
No, it's not going to be that. No. If he keeps riding that white horse, though, it's making me nervous. He becomes one of the horsemen of the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Or part of a horse.
Whatever it is, right.
Okay. Out of respect for you, you know where I was going with that. All right. Oh, this is very important. This may have prophetic meaning to it. It says, Paul, how are you doing that background of the U.S. flag?
It's a television screen right behind me, and the flag just waves. And
very important.
Yeah, very important information.
Very important. Okay. This is from Rose. Paul, Pastor Paul, what do you think about Austin, Texas microchipping the homeless people?
What? I think, are you serious? Why? Leave these people alone. I mean, feed them. How about that?
Yeah.
How about feed them? Set up some shelters and give them some blankets. And you know what? I'm so tired of what Los Angeles has done and some of these other cities. I mean, we can do this. We can set up some shelters and some homes for these folks. There's no reason for this, but don't go chipping them with a microchip. I mean, that's insanity.
Mm-hmm. I got to mark that down. 24 minutes into the show, are you serious?
Serious. Okay.
Yeah, man, we're serious. Serious as heck. All right. Question. How come people don't observe the Sabbath like Messiah did? I guess we want to get controversial here.
Okay. Well, you know, we can. That's a choice. You know, Paul said some men observe one day, some another, and some observe all days alike. Okay? So I think it's a personal preference. I personally observe the Sabbath, but I go to church on Sunday. America's culture is Sunday worship. Okay? It's Sunday worship. So I go to church on Sunday. But at the same time, on Saturdays, I like to observe the Sabbath day. I like to rest. I like this. I do. I really do. That's why I like to take. And now I wait till after 6 o'clock in the evening. I like to rest and let my body recuperate. It was good enough in the Bible. I think it's a good plan. But I don't think you have to go around keeping all of the biblical law, of course, because Christ came and gave us redemption. Okay. But, yeah, I think it's good. And I'm not going to go around condemning people. And I think to the listener out there, you know, it's good. It's a preference you can make, but it doesn't save you. Okay, mm-hmm. Salvation is through Christ. So don't condemn anybody. And I'm not saying this person is. You know, we don't want to condemn anybody who maybe doesn't follow that. And it's also not a sin to go. It's not a sin to go to church on Sunday. Go to church every day of the week if you want to. You know, it's all good.
All right. Jim Taylorson says, Pastor Paul, what do you think, or do you think the pulse could shut down the power grid?
Yeah, it could. I mean, look, an EMP could do that. And we had what's called in 1843, they had what was called the Carrington event, which fried the telegraph, you know, the telegraph wires. We didn't, if we'd had electricity and power grids in that day, it would have fried them. It would have been a chaos. So could this pulse do it? Yeah, it could. I don't think it will, because it depends on the type of energy it is. It definitely will hit the magnetosphere. It will hit the field, and it's supposed to protect us. So this is different than a solar flare or a CME from the sun. But it you know, anytime you got an electromagnetic cosmic ray, yeah, it could affect the power grids. We'll be watching that on December 10th around the world.
Mm-hmm. All right, and for those of you just joining us all the way from West Lafayette, Indiana, we have Pastor Paul Begley. If you've got a question for the good pastor, you can log into the live chat on our website or our streaming YouTube channel, or you can click in our menu which says guest question. And by the way, somebody has just done that, this is from David Waltrip. That was a rather long thing, David. We're going to shorten that up for you. It says, Pastor Paul, have you read the Book of Psalms of Humidity?
I have not. I'm
sorry,
I have not.
No, I've never heard that. I don't know if that's out there or what that is. Okay. This is the edge. Okay, so you're going to get this question here, and the person writing is probably very sincere as well. Is the Earth flat, Pastor Paul?
I'm sorry, it really isn't, and I'm not against the flat Earth people who believe the Earth is flat, but
right.
You know, it's just not. Okay, it's round. Okay.
Is it round? Okay. All right. I've kind of looked into it like most people have. I kind of stopped when I saw that he sits on the circles of the Earth. I kind of left it there. Though I've had plenty of flat earthers, and again, I'm with you. Yeah. People are researching that, they've come to that conclusion. I'm not going to belittle anybody with any conclusion because I wasn't there. I didn't see what they saw, and I, you know, so, and I'm sure, like I said, it was all sincerity. It says, this one's from Doreen out of the live chat, Pastor Paul. It says, what do you think of Mike from around the world? Who is he? What's going on?
I know who he is, and I'm not allowed. I'm not at liberty to say what his name is. Now, I've been interviewing him for 7 years. He still works for the federal government. He's in intelligence. He will not reveal his name nor show a picture of himself. But he has given me his personal name and phone number, and so I do know his name. He's a good Christian. He definitely loves the Lord. Still works for the federal government, and he has to be very careful what he says. He does not ever reveal classified information, but he gets briefings on many subjects, and he's allowed to share anything that is unclassified. And even though it may not be printed yet, may not be in the news yet. And so when we interview him, a lot of times he shares information, breaking information, like this pulse that's coming. And then you'll see later in the news, it will then come out. It may be in a scientific magazine, or maybe Reuters or somebody will bring it out 4, 6 months later, what have you, even 2 years later. So he is very honest. We have noticed that the things he's told us have come true, unbelievable. I'll give you an example from our last show.
Mm-hmm.
He said, watch the impeachment hearings. He said, know this, Saudi Arabia will be in the news very heavily. He said this on Thursday night.
Wow.
The next morning, we have a shooting at a base in Florida, and we just find out yesterday afternoon. It's the Saudi Arabians, and the Saudi Arabians are involved. And I'm like, whoa, how in the world is this man? And he didn't say there was going to be a shooting. He just said it will be a big deal. The Saudi Arabians and the relationship with America will be a big deal, even in the impeachment. Watch the news. You'll see it. And this happened the very next day. So how in the world can – you know what I'm saying? And these are just – that's just one example. There's probably been 20 or 25 like that.
Yeah, that I address that shooting in my ranting points, and it's one thing that just is beyond the pale is when our government, and this is a training for nationals, is a DOD program, which means we paid for that. So we basically paid for them to shoot our guys. I don't know what kind of vet program they got going on there, but I am not consoled by the Saudi prince. And how do you call these people a prince? Prince of what? Prince of Carpetism? I don't know. Prince of the Flying Carpet. I don't know what they're the prince of, but this is we're going near 2020, so I don't even know how you have a prince today. But he loves America. Oh, he loves America.
Well, I must say that, Daniel, this is going to be huge. I mean, you know, Trump, if you remember when he first was elected, he wanted to put the kibosh on just about seven different Muslim nations that were primarily Muslim nations. He wanted to put a heavy, what was called extreme vetting. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
And they
right.
shut it down, and that went all the way to the Supreme Court. That took 2 years, and there was a really nasty war over this internally. And then he's been very, very upset and concerned about these very vetting situations. If you have, I mean, and I'm sure he's going to react. I'm sure mm-hmm. they're going to be packing up guys and sending them back home. I mean, look, we have to work with some of the folks out there, but let's train them on their soil.
Yeah.
And but let's be sure that if we're training somebody, they're on our side.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
these radicals are dangerous, mm-hmm. and this is a Trojan horse attack on our boys that put on the uniform. It's horrible.
Well,
and it happens in Afghanistan. My son fought in Afghanistan. And he said to me, you know, mm-hmm. he produces our show here now. And
yeah.
he said, Dad, look, after 1 year in Kandahar, right in the surge and going out on these patrols and what have you. He said, and then all of a sudden I come back to the little base they had us do. We're out in the middle of the Providence of Kandahar. It's not a safe place. They're taking cheap shots at us from the hills every night. And we're sitting there and we got about a third of our crew with us are Afghanis. And I'm not mad or nothing. I'm just listen. I slept with one eye open. I never turned my back on them because they're sitting there holding a rifle and so am I. And mm-hmm. I never close. You look, mm-hmm. sleep with one eye open when you're with them. Mm-hmm. You just got to be that way.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen it. There's not a whole lot of outlets saying it, but I think it's coming out now. There are six others that are under arrest or being investigated. Pastor Paul, three of those were filming while these guys were shooting. So they can't tell me we got a rogue guy. It's always rogue guy. You know, one guy. No, this is a plot. So. You know, they can tell me all about their superior vetting, extreme vetting, whatever they got. There is no extreme vetting when you got six people, others involved, three of them filming the assassination of our guys. You know, that's just...
You're right. And Daniel, listen, we've got the deep state is entrenched in the Pentagon as well as in the military as well. I mean, part of the problem Trump's got is trying to weed out some of the generals to figure out who's really on his side and who's really on the side of America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this deep state thing is deep. It's not just bureaucrats sitting in the White House. Why do you think he stood up for those three guys that they were court-martialing? These were mm-hmm. warriors mm-hmm. who fought. You know, he went and got those guys out because he knew they were being railroaded, and there's still some leading military personnel. I don't know who they are. I'm not accusing anybody, but there's people in there who are not for this nation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. This deep state thing has been mm-hmm. going on for quite a while, and it's not easy to root it out.
Well, hopefully there's still some white hats in there. But if my memory serves, did not Obama fire a whole level of generals when he got into office?
He fired a ton of them.
So that's where he got his people into the military.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get to another question. It says... Paul, this is from Jane Northey, says, do you think the Democrats will stage a revolt in 2020 and this will participate the two prophets to show up in Israel?
Well, yes, the Democrats will stage some very, very ugly protesting after the 2020 election. But they'll also be licking their wounds. They're going to take a major hit. They're going to lose a lot of seats. Both I think in the House and in the Senate, they're going to lose some. They're going to take some hits. They might hang on to power in the House barely, but they are going to lose a lot of seats. But they're going to be out of their minds.
Mm-hmm.
The protesting, the nastiness will be worse than what we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And could this bring about the two witnesses? Well, no. The two witnesses really are going to be based on the events that go on in Israel. Okay. Mm-hmm. So watch for the temple to be built. Okay, if you see the temple, if you see cranes on the Temple Mount building the third temple, then look around because there's some guys going to be in sackcloth and ashes somewhere, okay, that the witnesses are coming. But that's the prophecy timepiece, really. The prophetic timepiece is Jerusalem.
All right. Well, that's something to keep our eye on there. There does seem that Trump knows a little bit more about things than he does. He kind of puts out, especially with this IG report coming out, an Inspector General report coming out, he's kind of hinting that it ain't going to be good for the other side. And there's one thing I noticed, Paul, that Trump is a master at doing. He dangles out a little shiny object, and they all come running. It's like that his trip to Afghanistan. He the New York Post or whoever it was, you know, said, you know, he went golfing. You know, he dangled that out for them, and they just jumped on it. And he does it every time. So it seems like when he's cornered, they're like rabid animals, man. They just attack that object that Trump throws out there. You know, it's kind of like when Nancy Pelosi went to take a plane over, and he took the keys to the plane, left her stranded on the tarmac. He's got a way of doing things. He's such a deep thinker, man. And he knows how to deal with these kooks. It's an amazing thing to watch. But you know, Pastor Paul, they're already saying, if he is acquitted in the Senate, they're going to impeach him again.
Yeah, I heard that, Daniel, and I'm thinking that's insanity. I mean, I guess you can. You want to just keep conjuring up fake allegations and bringing fake witnesses in. Third guy, you know, people who heard it from somebody who heard it from someone else. If that's what you want to do, you know, that was one of the questions in the midterm election. Are they going to legislate or investigate? Well, it's really sad. This is really showing us our nation's got a serious problem in Washington. I mean, our country, they are not doing their jobs that we're paying them to do. They're not representing the people. And if they do that, I mean, once again, here we go again. What are they going to do? Impeach him twice? They can't remove him. The Senate has to remove him. And that's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You can't get 20 Republicans to jump ship on President Trump. You mm-hmm. might get four, mm-hmm. maybe, or five.
And I'm sure in their deep, dark, underground bunker war room that they've already assessed. So their assessment is, you know, assess the loss or whatever else. Their calculation is strategic, you know. So this, they're playing a card game. But again, as dumb as they are, they keep playing the wrong hand, man. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's get some more.
They're playing tic-tac-toe while Trump's playing seven games of chess simultaneously. It's not even close.
It is definitely multi-layered for sure. It is so fun to watch. All right, let's get to this question. Just from Kevin Utterberger. Did you hear about the rare shallow earthquake near the nuclear plant in Massachusetts?
I did, and I'm very concerned about it. I didn't do a video on it. I did hear about it. I seen that earlier this morning, and I thought, well, I'll probably get to that on Sunday afternoon or something, Sunday evening. But, yeah, I mean, that does concern. Any time you see an earthquake around a nuclear plant, you got to be nervous about these reactors start melting down. Look at Fukushima. Look what happened to Japan, you know. Mm-hmm. So a lot of prayers going out. Let's hope there's nothing happens there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. 1 and 1 says, Pastor Paul, in John's gospel, he refers to a certain unnamed disciple, quote, the disciple of the Lord, the disciple the Lord loved, the disciple that leaned on the Lord's breast at supper. Who is the disciple that John was referring to?
Himself. It was St. John. John did never in the book of John, he never refers to himself by name. He always talks about that one disciple that he loved. John truly loved Jesus Christ, not that the others didn't. And so that is actually John talking about himself. He doesn't name himself. He doesn't want to even name himself.
Mm-hmm.
Just one that loved the Lord.
All right. By the way, in our bio write-up of you on our website, we have a link at underneath yours that says guest website, but right below it says prayer requests. So, of course, when they click on that, it goes to you. What do you do with those prayer requests when you get them?
Wow, thank you for doing that, Daniel. I'm really impressed with that, and I'm really thankful you do that. We get these prayer requests come in. They come in by literally by the hundreds every day. We pray over them all. Couple ways. One, the ones that come in directly to us through our prayer requests or our prayer wall, and then also in the mail. Those people who write us in the mail, we read every letter, pray over them. And if the requests are for a blanket for somebody who's really, really ill, we anoint a blanket, we send it to that person for free. Or we send those prayer cloths like you have right there on the back of your screen. We anoint those with oil, pray over them, and we send them to people, and all of that's for free. Or Bibles. We send Bibles for free, blankets for free, chemo caps for those that are going through chemotherapy, and also prayer cloths for those that are sick. So, and we pray. Now, if someone just says, Pastor, I got to, you know, pray for my son, pray for my daughter, we do that. We pray, and we got, I'm not the only one. We've got a teams of people praying. We have a, what's called an intercessory prayer team. These go out to them, and they pray. So we're talking 40, 50 people will pray for each prayer request. And if it's a real urgent one, like a dire need, a bad accident, something happens, we release that out to thousands and immediately get people praying across the globe for that situation. So
I'll tell you what, I'm glad you're praying for him. I meant last week I prayed scripture over my guest from last week and sent him to the hospital. So I don't know if I'm
Are they okay?
He okay. But remember, I prayed for him at the very end of last week's show, and he immediately had to go to the emergency ward. I mean,
still the prayers help. Believe me, I mean, you pray for him and send the, you know, sort of like fighting a war. Thank you, Lord, and pass the ammunition. Let's get it done. You know, amen.
Yeah, no, it is amazing. He's got an amazing story too, and I think I'm going to have to get him back on the program just to tell that story. What happened to him there? We prayed him right into the emergency room. All right, Barbara Briggs says, Paul, much love to you and Heidi. Have you seen the Fall Brothers documentary, Hollow Earth or Belly of the Beast?
I have not. And as a matter of fact, it's the first time I've heard of it. So I'm going to need to see that, the Fall Brothers.
Okay.
All right. I have not. I want to see that.
Now, of course, we're talking about cosmic pulse, Nibiru, asteroids. Something else might be heading our way, what we like to call here the program a doomgasm, because all these are sort of doomgasms.
Right.
Zombie apocalypse, Paul?
Yeah, the zombie apocalypse, okay? Here's the deal. In the Bible, first of all, Hollywood is glorifying the resurrection of the damned. The Bible tells us in Book of Daniel that there's going to be a resurrection of the, I'll read it, this is Daniel 12:2. It says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So Daniel tells us there's going to be both the resurrection of the just and the unjust. Okay, now Jesus says it this way in St. John 5, 28 and 29. He said, marvel not at this, or don't be stunned by this, for the hour is coming in that which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So there's two resurrections. You want to be part of the first one. That means you're born again through Jesus Christ. And when Christ comes, the Bible says the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And us that are alive and remain shall be caught up forever to be with the Lord. And so shall we be with the Lord. Then what happens? The damned are going to get up. He just told you they are. Can you imagine being left behind and the graves bursting open with the dead in sin, the dead damned? Now, look at this. In the book of Isaiah 66, here's what the prophet Isaiah said about this. He said these words in Isaiah 66:24, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of men that have transgressed against me, for their worm or their life shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be abhorring unto all flesh. So even Isaiah saw dead carcasses still alive. So I don't know about you, but I don't want to be anywhere near the zombie apocalypse, okay? It isn't like Hollywood. This thing's going to be ugly. Imagine being here when that, no, I'm getting out of here, okay?
Wow.
It's going to happen. Not good, no.
I'm going to have to join you, man. I don't want to be here with a bunch of zombie, flesh-eating zombies, man. You know, there might be a weird angle for this prophecy you're talking about here, and I'm going to tie the aliens into this a little bit, and I'm not saying that what I got to say is as any research is compared to research you've done, but just a hypothesis. Aliens have been around for some time, and I believe they've been around before we had the internet. We just didn't know about how active they were, but a lot of information has been coming out lately that there's been abductions, that there's been DNA extractions, there's been hybridization attempts going on, even replacement humans, human-alien hybrids. What if, because it just didn't start at the internet age, what if they were collecting DNA long ago? Those people have died. They still have their DNA, and they recreate them. Would that not be zombie resurrection apocalypse or part of it?
It certainly would. And you know, I guess you can't say that's out of the realm of possibility, because we know for sure that they can take the DNA of an animal and bring it back. They can use it to recreate it and even create an embryo and implant that into a living being or creature of some sort. Even in the Bible, it talks about that the fallen angels looked upon the daughters of men, saw they were fair, and they took them wives as they chose, and they bore them men of renown, giants in the land. We know that went on, but you're taking us to another whole level of bringing back DNA and recreating, and they can use gene editing now or gene splicing. They can use cloning. Mm-hmm. They can use human growth hormones. They can do a lot of things now that could really be freakish. I mean, I think they could bring back a modern-day Frankenstein kind of thing. I mean, you're right. A zombie.
Well, I mean, you know, say you knew Uncle Fred, and Uncle Fred died 30 years ago. All of a sudden, we're at this zombie apocalypse. We're at the end of time situation. All of a sudden, there he is walking, you know, because they were abducting him, getting his DNA, and they just grew him in the lab, and now he's walking around. I mean, that seems a plausible scenario. Now, the Bible also does say, Paul, that so as in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. Weren't there giants in the land of the days of Noah?
Oh, absolutely. They were violent, and they taught violence, and they created such a wicked, evil time, and they corrupted the seed of humanity. And the Bible says there was giants before and after the flood. So we know we had them during the days of Noah, and we know we had them after, because when the children of Israel were going into Canaan, Joshua and Caleb went in there and said, look, we came back and said, look, we could take this land, but man, these guys, we look like grasshoppers. They were tribes of Nephilims and Rephaims. They were giants. And that's why they had to be destroyed, because they were trying to. And the reason they were there, that was the promised land. That was the holy land. And Satan was trying to corrupt it and hold it. He did not want the children of Israel to get possession of the holy land, because that's what God had made a covenant with Abraham, and that's the holy land that God wanted to promise. So Satan knew that, and he had tribes of giants, and they had to be all wiped out and exterminated. So, yeah, definitely happened. I mean, it definitely happened.
This is from Tammy Driver of our YouTube chat. Says, Jim Taylorson, Pastor Paul, pre-trib, mid-trib, rapture, or do Christians ride out the tribulation?
You know, it's a great question, and I always leave that up to the individuals. You can study the scripture, and this is real easy. This is the one area that in Christianity there's always a major debate, and it unfortunately has divided a lot of the church. Because you can find scriptures to back up all three theories, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. And so what I always tell people is you want to be pre-wrath, okay? Mm-hmm. God is not intended for any Christian to be part of the wrath of God. We're not going to be here when God pours out his wrath to punish the earth. But until he comes, you know, we're going to have to deal with some stuff that when you use the term rapture or when you use the term pre-trib, a lot of people they have ideals of what the tribulation period is. And I've gotten tons of letters from people that say, Pastor Begley, we were told we'd be gone before any of this stuff started happening. How come we're still here? It's because that's what you were told. That isn't what the scripture says. The scripture does tell us we'll be persecuted. Christians are being beheaded. Christians are being killed and murdered in prison. This is going on right now as I'm talking to you. So there's some things we're going to endure, and how far we got to go before the Lord comes, I can't answer that, because he says you won't know the day nor the hour. I just told you to be ready for when I come. You want to be ready when I come. So I tell people, be ready. You don't want to be left for the wrath of God. Be pre-wrath, okay? That means be ready when he comes, and I'm going to leave it right there.
Well, that's right. In an hour to think not, the Son of Man cometh. And so, yeah, and, you know, I guess it's always good to be ready. Well, Paul, how can people be ready?
Well, they got to give their life to Christ. I mean, there's no other way. There's no, you know, you got to come through the door. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm not preaching denomination. I'm not telling people you got to be a certain denomination. Because, look, if you're part of the body of Christ, you may attend any of the 45,000 different Christian denominations in the world. But what you do have to do is have Christ in your life, in your heart. And that means to repent of your sins and really say, God, I want to change. I want to turn my life around. I want to submit my will to Jesus Christ and make him the Lord of my life. I accept him as my Savior by faith, because you're saved by faith. It's not in ourselves. You can't earn this. It's free. It's been paid for. Just accept it and receive it and believe and repent and ask Christ to help you. And you know what? It's the easiest thing in the world, but it's the toughest thing for people to do, because you have to let go of the world, okay? You got to let go. You can't let the devil be running your life and ruling your thoughts and your steps. Surrender it to Christ and be washed in the blood and be saved.
Mm. All right. Question here says, so Pastor Paul, do they bury people 6 feet under to keep them from rising again as a zombie?
It won't work, but no, they bury them 6 feet under. That's kind of a tradition that if you go 6 feet down, you know, that no animal can't smell your body if you're that deep. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with you won't rise as a zombie. No.
Did you know, I'm sure you do, they've been finding burial sites in Europe around the Middle Ages where they would bury people and they would stick bricks in their mouth to keep them from coming up as a vampire.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
Yeah, their tradition. Yeah, it's a tradition that, you know, if they can do that, then they won't come back and suck their blood as a vampire. But I tell you, I don't know, man. So there's a lot of different ways people are going to come up out of that.
True.
Jane asked this question from the YouTube chat. Paul, can giants be mixed up with AI gene editing on the cells and create doubles and super soldiers?
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah. If you have the DNA, I would say if you have the DNA of a giant, a DNA of anything, you can mix it with using AI technology. I mean, they're already doing what's called transhumanism. So that's where you're mixing human beings with machine. And they're trying that in a lot of different directions. Mm-hmm. They're trying to do this. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Vladimir Putin said that the most dangerous enemy of man is AI soldiers, super soldiers. And part of that would be AI soldiers, certainly be a robot soldier that can think and make decisions lethally on its own, whether that's a little drone flying around or if it's a walking soldier. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, yes, but I mean, transhumanism, even our government and the DOD, they've created skeletal super soldier equipment that a man can wear and run faster and last longer than a normal human. And they're testing that gear now. Mm-hmm. So certainly, if they've got the DNA of a giant, and you know the Smithsonian, I believe, has a lot of the bones of the giants, and they can get into the marrow of the bones and come out with some DNA, then they could create anything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just read last week that China is successfully mixed DNA with chimpanzees. Are we one step closer to Planet of the Apes, Paul?
Yeah. I mean, this is once again, here we go. You talk about, we'll finally find, maybe we'll find the missing link finally for Darwin. This is dangerous territory. Mm-hmm. To mix human DNA with that of a gorilla or a chimpanzee or something. This is dangerous. This is one of the things I think the Bible talked about, corrupting even the flesh of the beast in the last day. And the Bible does say in the book of Revelation that in the final days there will be beast that will be doing the work of Satan, attacking people. And I don't think that means lions or tigers. I think these are created beasts that may have an intellect a different total intellect by mixing the genes of humans with beasts. I mean, it's awful to think about.
Yeah, the promise that they were saying is that they would be able to harvest human comparable organs. And I tell you what, Paul, I wouldn't want an appendix from a monkey. And because you'll wake up and all of a sudden you're going to want bananas and who knows what. You're going to be looking for a tree, you know, to hang from. And that's some scary stuff. Okay, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be no monkey.
No. I didn't come from monkeys. I'm not going to become one. I'm going to try not to anyway. What in the world's going on here? I mean, this shows you the level of just pure disrespect for God's creation, the disrespect for humanity. Look at all the mutilation that people are doing to themselves now anyway, okay? Mm-hmm. And they do it in a lot of different ways. And they try to make themselves look a certain way, but they end up they don't end up enhancing themselves. They end up hurting themselves a lot of times. And I think we're obsessed with mutilating of our flesh. You know, we need to really get our heart right, okay? And then you'll feel much better about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Paul, what do you think the deception, if it were possible, of the very elect is?
Well, that's a great question. You know, it's right there in the Bible, and it says it, you know, he said he would deceive even the very elect if it were possible. You know what it is? It's the spirit of the Antichrist. It's the Antichrist himself, the spirit of that last New World Order, that world government that will be headed by the beast or the Antichrist. And he'll be so good, he'll bring the spirit of deception that many will follow. And really, unless you're saved, you will follow him. You know, I've talked to people and say, I can tell you one thing, Brother Paul, I'm not saved or whatever, but I'll never take the mark. And I always say to them, look, if you can't serve God now when it's simple, tell me how you're going to resist this when they're holding a gun to your little baby's head and saying, renounce Jesus Christ. Are you going to have it in you? I don't think so. You better find Christ now. And the deception is going to be, it's all right. This is a good thing. Okay. They're already chipping the homeless. You know, this is a good thing. We can keep track of them this way. They're already wanting to chip grandma in the nursing home. She might wander out. You know, they're going to, this is the part of the deception of the last days, to fool the people into accepting a global socialistic. You're seeing it with socialism. These politicians are running around hollering socialism, super socialism. What they're preaching is a one world society that is destined to fail.
So are you saying I need to stay away from that dang Yang guy who's offering $1,000 a month? I mean, that sounds pretty good, Paul.
He could offer $10,000 a month. I am not taking they're not putting no chip in me. If they do, I don't want a chocolate chip. I don't want a buffalo chip, a poker chip. I don't need the RFID chip, okay?
Neither do I. Wow. Doreen says, Pastor Paul, when do you think the third temple is going to be built?
Wow, that's a great question. The blueprints have been drawn. They're building a dwelling place, temporary dwelling place for the high priest. All of the vessels that would go inside the temple are secured. This thing could happen anywhere in 3 years, very, very realistically in 3 years, or it could take 30 years. It really will become based on the climate of the individuals. I mean, they could build it tomorrow. Matter of fact, it's pre-built. I mean, I've talked to all the rabbis. I go there. I've been there 10 times. I meet with the rabbis. I know. It's pre-built. They can pull it out and actually construct it and have it up in less than 10 months. But they won't do it unless there's an agreement where the whole world agrees to let them. And so that could be within 3 years. That could be within 30 years. We just have to really wait and see. But it's coming soon.
Mm. You know, I've read there was a volcano back about 1819 or something like that that actually lowered the temperature of the earth and nearly caused Thomas Jefferson to go bankrupt. It doesn't seem like it takes much to cause a global catastrophe on that order. We were talking earlier about the Cascade subduction zone out there, but there's other potential volcanoes, and I keep getting reports that there are actually been hundreds of earthquakes or earthquake swarms happening in the thousands range of those. Is the earth groaning and travailing? Is this part of that?
Absolutely. This is the birthing pains of the last days. This is part of the travailing that the Bible talks about. You're referring to the volcano of 1816, in which there's the year without a summer. It was such a massive explosive volcano in Indonesia that it darkened the sky so much that it cooled the temperatures of the summer. It was the year without a summer, and the crops didn't grow. It was people nearly starved to death, and Thomas Jefferson almost went broke. That's exactly right. And can that happen again? Absolutely. Matter of fact, right now, we're a ticking time bomb for this. We got more volcanoes active right now than we have had in 500 years. We have earthquakes by more now than ever before. And so as this gravitational pull and pressure builds, anything can happen. And so, I mean, you can't be shocked by this. We're told in the Bible in the last days that the sun will be darkened and the moon will turn to blood. Now, that means the sky will be so darkish from something, probably a volcano, that it will look darker, and the moon will have a tinted red to it because of probably whatever's in the sky. So these are the signs of the last days. They're coming.
Mm. And, of course, the signs of the last days is this socialistic takeover of the United States, and the depravity that's accepted in this country is just beyond belief. I mean, it's as if a switch was thrown, and I don't know, maybe after the 2016 election, but I think one of the major tenets of the whole Trump administration was he pulled the curtain back from what was really going on behind the curtain for years, as we Christians were taught to trust our elected officials. And so we put up with so much, but we didn't know that there was a plan, a demonic plan behind that. We assumed they were doing things in our best interest. It turns out they were constructing a program to deconstruct our culture and to eliminate the United States as a whole. That's one of the things that he's done. You know, I said earlier how that what's done in secret will be proclaimed. Well, Trump seems to be the linchpin of that. And I don't know anybody else that could have done that.
No, nobody else that had the ability to do that. I mean, President Trump, God chose him because he had the guts to do it and wasn't afraid, and also had a righteousness about him that he knows, we got to do the right things. The right things need to be done. And so God's using him to literally turn to put a spotlight on this stuff, to break it loose, to bring it out, to clean it up, to drain the swamp. And when you drain, I know, we where Monticello, Indiana is. Mm-hmm. So if they drain Lake Freeman out here, and I've seen them, they drain it about every 20 years, and I've been there after they drain it. It's the most beautiful lake in Indiana. You drain that thing, it is ugly. There's car tires, and there's cars, and there's junk, and they got to clean that all out. Well, when you start draining the swamp in Washington, it gets real ugly what's down in the creatures that are down in there. So that's what he's doing, and nobody else could have done this. First of all, no one had – you had to have somebody wealthy enough to take on this challenge. And number two, you had to have somebody that just wasn't afraid. And also, because he had met a lot of world leaders already and had done business in many countries, he understood different cultures. So you know what? God had to choose this man to do for this time, to do this, what he's doing. And so we should pray more today. There's a threat on his life daily. There are people who want to assassinate him because they really don't have any other option left. Mm-hmm. And it will get very dangerous in 2020. I'm asking all the people listening out there to pray for this man and his family, because the devil's on a warpath.
Mm. Again, from Melinda from Wichita says, because we're right on topic here, do you know approximately how many attempts have been put on Trump's life?
I've heard the numbers over 40. And that's from a guy that is a retired NSA agent.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never hear that in the press, or they're never going to let that out, because they can't. Because if they do, then it lets those who are plotting know that the NSA is on to them. Mm-hmm. But there's been at least 40 actual plans where people were actually arrested, taken away, and we never know about it. Okay, so and we know of a couple. You know, I think the other day when he ended up in the hospital, it could have been some kind of a a poisoning or something that's been speculated. There's been a bullet holes go through the Oval Office window, and there's been several times on lockdown. The government has been on, the White House has been on lockdown. Sometimes been on lockdown, they never tell us.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt. The guy that tried to jump him in Ohio, sure, there'll be more.
On your website, it says, is your next speaking engagement going to be in Hawaii? Did I get that right?
Yeah, it's going to be in Honolulu, Hawaii. I'll be speaking there on January 18th. I'll be preaching two sermons there. Also, country gospel singer Kevin Wilson from Kentucky will be there singing. And we've already heard, I'm on television in Hawaii already. I've been on for 4.5 years on channel WKHE. And it's channel 14 for those that may be listening in Hawaii. And I've been on there for about 4.5 years. So we've never been there to minister the word of God. And so people have been begging us, and we finally said, okay, we're going to do it. And so that's coming up January 18th in Honolulu. You go to my website, you'll find out the exact location if you want, those of you out there. Or anybody wants to fly out there and have a little vacation, that'd be a good time to get out of the cold weather.
Well, we're talking about attempts on Trump's life. It seems that I would agree with you. It looks like he's going to be reelected. Now, in the first election, we had the all kinds of terms start coming into the lexicon, like safe space, Plato, counseling, people screaming at the sky, funny pink hats, naked women running around. That just happened in the first one. Now, it seems to me we're going to go to an entirely different level if that happens again. That's what happened as a result of the first one. And you were talking about earlier about people mutilating themselves and stuff, and I'm sure some of that was in there too. People walk around with heads. They make a fool. They made a play assassinating the president. I mean, there were rap albums with Trump with a toe tag in the morgue. I mean, just on and on. That was all in the first round. What level are we going to in the second round, Pastor Paul? What are they going to do?
It's going to be beyond you and I or anybody listening's belief. It's going to be instigated by, my opinion, even elected officials, maybe even judicial people in judicial positions, mayors of cities. Are going to march. I look for a march on Washington organized by several mayors of America. It is going to be next thing to a near coup. Because they can't deal with the fact that the globe, they were so close. I believe that the beast in the Bible, the seven-headed monster, the beast kingdom was just about ready to take over. They were sure this was the time. And this has wrecked that plan and has set it back at least 20 to 30 years. And because he's putting in some really good judges, not only on the Supreme Court, but in the federal judges. And, he's trying to also replace a lot of these guys in the military that people he can trust. He can't get them all. He can't fix it all. He's trying to change some of the curriculum in the colleges and the high schools to go back to teaching the truth of history. I mean, this can't be done overnight. I mean, you can't turn this ship that fast. So these next 4 years will be huge, and the reaction by those will be absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of the scripture that talks about when a man exorcises a demon from his house, 7 worst demons come. It seems to me that Trump is exorcising the demons of the deep state. And there's 7 worst of these, I'm going to hold my language back here, are going to come back. Is that you think that fits?
I think it does. I think that's a great analogy. The first time I heard somebody bring it up that way, but I do. Look, Abraham Lincoln considered our nation as a house. He would always quote Jesus, where Jesus said, "A house divided cannot stand." And, he spent 4 years, Civil War, eradicating this this demonic force to end our union. And Trump is in the same situation. Thank God it's not a bloody Civil War, but it's a war of words, it's a war of positions, a war of power. It's being fought on a spiritual level. And a governmental level, and a judicial level, And you're going to see some things. I think even you're going to see people getting arrested soon. You're going to start seeing elected officials being arrested, and you're going to see law enforcement fighting against law enforcement, refusing to carry out orders. Okay, we already see it now. The ICE is already, they're supposed to, if someone is an illegal who commits a crime, they're to be deported. But instead of some of the police departments in some of the cities, or even some of the sheriff departments, are refusing to call ICE on the phone and say, come and get them. They just turn them loose. Mm-hmm. This is absolutely lawlessness. Mm-hmm. You're going to see it's going to get worse, Daniel. It's going to get worse.
You mentioned judges. The Bible kind of has a tenet in it. It says that pride comes before a fall. Now, it seems to me, where you were talking about the left's chess or checkers plan against 3D chess of Trump. It seems to me, and Trump has actually said at his rallies, I'm going to put it this way, that Obama made a serious tactical error. He left so many judgeships open, even Trump couldn't believe it.
Right.
And the judges is what's going to hold back some of this demonization of America, because they're going to hopefully be constitutional judges. But it's an amazing tactical error, because Obama could have put his handprint and check on everything any righteous man would want to do in the future. But his pride was so great. They were so convinced that Hillary was going to carry on this so-called Obama legacy without a magic wand, probably a broomstick. That's what she comes riding in on. Things turbocharged. And by the way, she says she's not a lesbian on the Howard Stern, so just pointing it out. I'm still debating on that one. But, you know, they were so prideful. And the whole, that's why the deep state is still there, because they were all expecting Strzok and, his adulterous woman, Paige, everybody, they didn't worry about the text or the laptops or the trail they left, because they planned on Hillary getting in and they just wipe it out and nobody know the difference. They were so prideful, and that pride has left that big opening for Trump to come and put his thumbprint. Though he may not be in office, he's put all kinds of judges in place. That's a tactical error.
Right. Obama did not seal the deal, because he was absolutely positive that Hillary was going to win. And see, she had a lot of favors she owed as well. And it was her turn to put in her people. Mm-hmm. You have to understand, the Clinton initiative brought in hundreds of millions of dollars of donations from all over the world, a lot of countries. Mm-hmm. Not only was she going to fill these judges' seats with people that she owed favors for, but there was going to be all kinds of globalists crawling in and out of Washington and changing the direction of our nation. She owed a lot of people, and this is a monumental mistake, that they underestimated the will of the people. They underestimated the power of prayer. They underestimated Donald Trump. And it was a horrific tactical error on their part. Pride comes before the fall, and it certainly hit them there.
Mm. Are you familiar with the firefighter named, I think his name is Taylor, who said that Trump was going to be elected?
Yes, I am. I've never met him personally, but I've read his book.
Mm-hmm.
He's correct. Yeah, he did a great job, and God showed him, and he was correct.
Have you heard in your circles of anybody else that's having any sort of prophetic dreams regarding the future of America or Trump's re-election or the near future?
I have, and most of them are positive. It's going to be a positive election, but the reaction, the right man's going to win, but the reaction of those who are against him is going to be extremely ugly. And matter of fact, people are getting dreams of this everywhere, that the reaction is going to be extremely, extremely ugly and dangerous for our nation. So we're getting the right guy, but it's the reaction is the part we're going to have to. We really need to pray about that in advance and really get ahead of that. Because the reaction will be, as you've said, severe. And I think, seriously, to the point of lethal. In a lot of areas. So we really need to pray.
Well, where it says that a man's enemies will be those of his own household, would that sort of depict that era of time as well?
Yeah, if we was to take a look at our government, if we was to go to Washington and say, here's the House, between the Senate the House of Representatives, the White House, the Pentagon, and maybe even the judicial, the Supreme Court. If we were to just take a look at all that, we got a seriously divided House, and it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly, especially if he wins again, and I really believe he will.
Pastor Paul, do you think that everyone we meet are basically in the human species, that everyone we meet is human? Are there non-humans among us?
Yes, there's angels among us as well as demons. I mean, the Bible's filled with angelic encounters. Mm-hmm. Abraham met two angels, came to his tent. Lot, two men came to his house. He didn't, you know, there's angels that wrestled with Jacob all night, okay? Yeah, we have, and also not only do we have angels among us, we have demons among us, okay? We do. So now we're not to be afraid. This is why, you know, you have to have confidence in Christ. But we would be, you know, it would be wrong. Look, people, there's people, I'm going to say this. Either during the shooting in Dallas, Texas, 11 police officers were killed, and I think 5 or 6 were wounded. They say one man did it. I watched the video. The man would have had to been Superman to run the top of that roof. They say that Paddock killed 100 and whatever he killed, killed 58 or whatever it was in Vegas out of two windows. He would have had to been absolutely the most athletic, most accurate shooter, he'd have been bionic to do that. Either there's more than one shooter or we're dealing with demonically possessed individuals who can perform insuperable acts of violence. It's very possible it could have been more than one shooter, and it's also very possible that there are demonic forces among us. So we do have to watch these things.
Yeah, and that was the basis of my question. I see Paul Shishi of a live chat was sort of asking that same question, that human bodies, of course, I'm aware the Bible says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and certainly we have angelic intervention, but are people human? Could they be, say, hybrids?
Yes.
And if so, is there any way to trigger them so they would identify themselves? I mean, besides saying, say I'm a Trump supporter, or wearing a MAGA hat, that pretty much do it right there. But, you know, I'm just saying.
Seriously, look, we've had giants before the flood. We've had them after the flood. We can have them again. We can have hybrids right now that may not be 14 foot tall, that could be the same, pretty close to the same size what we are right now. Is that possible? Absolutely. I think it's very possible. And that the Bible tells us that, you know, there's going to be demons that come, or there's going to be individuals or whatever that are going to be on the earth, and they're going to be very deceptive. Apollyon, Abaddon, is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 9. But at the same time, certainly there could be. Could we? What can we do to trigger them? I don't know. You start, wear a Trump hat or start praying or something. But we'll be able to discern it. You know, I discern when somebody's dangerous. I could discern, but I mean, that's what I do, is I operate in that world. So I can discern real quick whether people are a believer or not, or if they're violent or not, or if they're just innocently, you know, individual. You know, that's spiritual discernment, and that's one of the reasons why the body of Christ, and this is one of the reasons why the gifts of the Spirit are so important to operate in the last days, because there will be a lot of deception. Some of it cosmetically, some of it DNA, some of it spiritually, I mean, a lot. Some of it technologically. There's going to be a lot of deception going on.
Do you think that the DNA test, like 23andMe, do you think that they're looking for somebody's DNA? Maybe ancient DNA, maybe giant DNA?
Look, they've got the DNA of every president right now. I mean, all the way back to, you know, they got the hair from George Washington. They've got the blood, vials of blood of I forgot how many popes. The royal family and Buckingham Palace, it goes way back. They've got the DNA of a lot of different people and things, and so they could recreate. And then with cloning, I mean, it wouldn't shock me. I'm going to tell you right now, Daniel, it would not shock me if all of a sudden 100 identical people of somebody who died 50 years ago just walked out one day, 100 of them, looking exactly the same. 100 Buddy Hollies, 100 Elvis Presleys. What would you do? They could do it. And if they can, they have. If they have, they are. How far back, I don't know. But I would say that there's some shocking things coming very soon from DNA and cloning capability.
Mm-hmm. A question came in. It says, does CERN Hadron Collider play any role in the end times?
You know, I think so, yes. And the part it does is, and it's been really bothering me right now, is that the Bible talks about, I said, the bottomless pit, an angel with a key to the bottomless pit opens it and releases these demon forces, including Abaddon and Apollyon. Well, CERN is trying to pierce the veil into the next dimension. Matter of fact, there was just an article out about 3 weeks ago that said that CERN has just found a missing particle that will allow us to peer into the, what they call it, the fifth force of nature, in that this particle reacts differently than any of the other four forces. So they're saying that this will give us a glimpse into the dark side. I'm telling you that CERN, the main thing CERN may do is open the bottomless pit. That might be how it gets done, is a piercing into the next dimension, into the great gulf that we're not supposed to go. And that might be how that pit gets opened. It definitely gets opened.
Does the pit get open before the rapture?
That's a great question. Yeah, the saints are around. I mean, you're talking, this is the ninth chapter of Revelation, and the saints get ready for the wedding supper in the 19th chapter. So, yeah. And people are going to be stung. It's going to get ugly. That's what I'm trying to say. There's a lot of stuff we ain't seen yet. Mm-hmm. That's why I tell people, stay focused, prayed up, and be ready. The Lord will come when he's ready. Mm-hmm. He's going to come when he's ready. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily when we think he is.
Right. And now, the Bible does say that the great Babylon will be destroyed in an hour or in a day. Is America the great whore of Babylon?
No. And that's a great question. And the reason I say no is America is the eagle's wings that floats along. You know, if you go to Daniel chapter 7, it tells you there's these three beast kingdoms before the final beast kingdom, the major Antichrist kingdom. Those three kingdoms is one's of a lion, one's of a bear, and one's of a leopard. The lion also had eagle's wings on its back, which the lion would appear to be, and these are end time kingdoms, not Rome, not Greece, not Ottoman Empire, not, these are end time kingdoms, because it says this will happen in the last days, in the latter days. So the lion would be Great Britain, the eagle's wings would be America. It says the wings break off of the lion and stands up on its feet as a man and becomes a mighty nation. That's the United States. We're the eagle. Mm-hmm. The leopard is probably Germany, and it says it has the wings of a fowl on its back, and those wings stay on it. That's probably France, because everywhere Germany goes, France likes to hang out. The last one is the bear. That would be Russia. It says in the Bible, though, that the fourth kingdom will be made up of all of those that it just said, except the eagle's wings. And so you go to Revelation 13, and it says it again, that the final end-time beast has the face of a lion, the feet of a bear, the body of a leopard, and it has the fowl's wings. It has everything but the wings of the eagle. So I've said to myself, well, where's the wings of the eagle? Revelation 12 says the wings of an eagle will fly over Israel as she's being persecuted to protect her as she's running in the wilderness. Wow. And that would be the United States of America. Hmm. Babylon is going to be just that. Ancient Babylon revives, it already has. It is radical Islam. It's all of those right out of Baghdad, Iraq, Iran, Persia. There they are, hating the Jews. And only the eagle's wings flies over to protect Israel. And look at us today. It's America that stands with Israel. Israel's important because Jesus has to return to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem's going to be there when he comes. And America is that. And why are we chosen for that? Because Israel's the only nation in the world that was became a nation by God, and America is the only nation created on the foundation of the Word of God. And that's why we're going to be standing. It's ugly. It's going to get ugly, but we're going to win. We win in the end.
Speaking of Babylon, could Peter Buttigieg be the Antichrist? Because the Bible says he wouldn't have regard for women.
I got to be real careful how I answer that question, okay? There's a lot of people that could be on a short list, okay? And so I'm going to leave it right there, okay?
I applaud you for that. Wow. Don't really want to end the show like that, but hey, we're right at the end of the broadcast. Pastor Paul Begley, we appreciate you coming on, but we talked earlier about how somebody can escape the things coming upon the earth, and you said that. So what do you think about leading us in a prayer, perhaps for those who would like to know that their destruction would not be certain and that they would have a way of escape?
Amen. As a matter of fact, I'd love to do that, Daniel. Thank you so much. Lord, we just thank you for all the people that have been watching this show, listening to this program. And Lord, as you've already told us, that you'd make a way of escape even when there seems to be no way. You said, Lord, that pray that we be worthy to escape the hour of temptation coming upon the earth. And I believe, Lord, that your word says that we as believers, as Christians, will not suffer the wrath of God. You said we're not appointed unto wrath, so we're not worried about that. Now, we know, Lord, that as you've said, we may see persecution, we may see imprisonment, there could be some things happen to some of us by man, but not by you. But at the same time, you've promised us that you will not destroy us with your wrath, that you will come and get us, and we will meet you in the air. We will see you coming. Lord, your word said that there will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, even distress among nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves will roar. But you said, Lord, but then you told us to look up, lift up our head, for our redemption's drawing nigh. We'll see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. So, Father, we just thank you for that promise. Now, bless all the listeners here. Bless Daniel, Lord, with his show and his program. Thank you, God. You've got him standing on the front line of freedom, standing there, Lord, representing the kingdom of God as well as this great nation. We thank you for that, and we bless all the people. And if any of you are listening that aren't saved, they give their life to Jesus Christ and be born again. Today is that day to do that. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen on that one there. Pastor Paul Begley, I appreciate you coming on the Edge broadcast. Like I said earlier, for the people watching, there's a prayer link right in his Pastor Paul's bio section there. Just click on that and do an outreach there to Paul and his ministry. Pastor Paul, can we have you on again sometime?
Oh, I'd love to. Love to. And if anybody wants to know about the zombie apocalypse, I've got the DVD on this. This will wake you up. This will tell you what those demons are like. Or signs of his coming, Daniel, because this one will help you with Nibiru. I thought I'd show those two. Excellent. Since that was your topics, and they would really be a blessing to you.
Excellent. All right, Pastor Paul, thanks for coming on the program. You be safe up there in Indiana, where I am.
God bless.
God bless. All right, everybody, that was...